Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Well, hey, happy new year. You made it. 2026. Way to go. You did it. So here's to the gyms being packed, fridges being full of kale, and all of the New Year's resolutions to a better life, right? And if we can just be straight up, in all reality, most of those resolutions are going to fizzle out, right? They're not going to make it very long, and that's okay. But I think part of the reason that is a lot of resolutions, they're based off of willpower, right? Just your own ability to pull it off. And willpower is a little bit like a battery. It just kind of slowly starts to drain out until it's just gone and it's not there anymore. And what I would say is this. This is true for all of us, whether you're here in the room, you're joining online, for myself included. What you and I don't need is we don't need another resolution. Right? It's not what we need. You don't need a better goal. What we need, at the heart of heart, what every single one of us need, whether I know you or I don't know you, what I know every single one of us needs is this. We need a real, genuine encounter with God. That's what we need. More than a resolution, more than a goal, more than a new life hack, we need a real encounter with God. And so what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is we're going to look at one practice that if you and I engage in this as a part of our lives, this becomes the first domino that starts to knock down and affect every other domino that comes after. You ever played that game, right? I never played dominoes the way you were supposed to, right? Apparently, there's a whole game around dominoes. Did you know this? I just thought they were made to set up and then knock down. That's my whole understanding. But anyways, you set up that first domino. You have all the trail behind them. You knock down the first one. And if you set it up properly, the rest of them all go down with it. And so if you get this first domino, This really central practice into your life, it affects every other area of your life. It'll affect your marriage if you're married. It'll affect your friendships. It'll affect your career. It'll affect who you're connected with. It'll affect your goals, your purpose, how you think about life. It'll touch every other aspect of your life. And the one practice that I'm talking about is this, a daily quiet time with God. Now, maybe you use different language than that, and that's fine. Maybe you call it your devotional time. Maybe you call it your study time, whatever it is. But this daily quiet time where you're intentionally spending time with God each day, this is one of the keystone practices in the life of a believer that absolutely touches everything else in your life. When our teaching team was talking about this a few weeks ago, we were talking about daily quiet time and spending time with the Lord every single day. And one of our teaching team members, Yvonne Anderson, was kind of describing a little bit from hers. And she goes, you know what? I just call it the best part of my day. And it was like, that's right. I love that. As soon as I heard that, I was like, that's the title for this series, the best part of my day. And when I look back on, you know, my time with the Lord every day, I really see this as the best part of my day, where I'm spending time with him, I'm learning from him, and I'm hearing from him, and he's changing my life. Now, for some of you, maybe this is a newer idea or newer concept for you, and you're going, daily quiet time, what exactly is that? Very simply, a daily quiet time is this. It's an appointment with God where you're focused in three main areas. One, reading the Bible. Two, talking with God. And three, surrendering your life. That's really what a daily quiet time looks like. It's reading the Bible, talking with God, and surrendering your life. And so when we're talking about a daily quiet time, that's what we're really describing. If you brought a Bible with you, as Pastor Matt mentioned, I'm going to ask you to open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, 2 Timothy is in the back of the Bible, the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at that in just a second. While you're going there, I do want to welcome everybody here today. I want to welcome all of our guests who are here for the first time. So glad you're starting your year with us. I want to welcome everybody joining us at Lighthouse Online. Whether you're here in Hancock County or maybe you're somewhere else, thank you so much for being a part of our family. We hope you dial in our campus, lighthousecommunity.online.church. That's the best best place to get all the access to everything. We hope you'll check us out there. And then Lighthouse family, can we just take a moment and just welcome all of our guests this morning and everybody at Lighthouse Online. Let them know we're so glad you chose to be with us. And if this is your first time with us, I just want to let you know, this is what we do 52 weeks a year. When we gather together, we spend time worshiping the Lord. We spend time reading the Bible, talking about what it means. We spend time praying together. So if this is helpful for you, what I would encourage you is, the next 51 Sundays, this is exactly what it's going to look like as we go forward. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 16. And in fact, let's start out by reading this passage together, starting with every scripture passage. Are you ready? Go. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. I love this passage. This is such a clear description of what the Bible is. And I love the language that's here. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. The Bible is from God. These are not the best ideas of spiritually sensitive men. This is inspired by God. He has spoken this through human authors because he wants you to know who he is. He has intentionally revealed himself through the scriptures so that you would know him and you would be able to trust him with your life. And again, the clarity of this passage, every single passage is inspired by God and every passage is useful. I love that language. It's useful in every arena of life. The scripture speaks into it. Right? It's useful in the living room when you're at home. It's useful in the boardroom when you're at work. It's useful in the classroom when you're at school. It's useful in the bedroom. It's useful in probably the most important room, which would be the throne room of our lives, right? Our hearts. This is where it's especially most useful. And so going forward, when we're talking about this idea of a daily quiet time, one of the central things that you build into that is actually reading the Bible. So central to that. And so what I want to do is I want to walk you through really quickly four benefits from reading the scriptures, reading the Bible in your daily quiet time. And then we're going to unpack what could a daily quiet time leveraging the scriptures look like in your life and in my life. And so let's talk about these first four benefits real quick that you receive when you make reading the Bible a part of your daily quiet time. Here's the first one, that reading the Bible helps me to see Jesus. This is one of the first things when you're reading the scriptures. Reading the Bible helps me to see Jesus. Now, discovering Jesus from the scriptures is the number one goal of the Bible, over and above anything else. Knowing who Jesus is, discovering who he is, growing in him in your faith, this is the primary goal of the Bible. In fact, if you go to the Bible and your primary goal is looking for life hacks to make your life easier, you're missing the point of Scripture. If you read the Bible and your primary goal is to build better morals and have a higher morality in your life, you're missing the primary point of Scripture. If you're reading the Bible and your primary goal is you're going, well, this is going to rack up some points with God. So at the end of my life, he'll see how many times I read the Bible through my life. And that's got to count for me getting into heaven. If that's your goal, you're missing the primary point of Scripture. In fact, you're falling into a religious trap that was very, very similar to many of the religious leaders in Jesus' time. In fact, in John chapter 5, Jesus is having a discussion with some of these religious leaders, and he talks about how they approach the scriptures, and he said this, "You search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life." And so what was happening is you had religious people who are going, hey, we're reading the Bible, we're memorizing the Bible, we're interpreting the Bible, we're telling other people how to know and understand the Bible. And so because of that, we will receive eternal life. And Jesus says, you're actually missing it. Eternal life doesn't come from the Bible in itself, because the Bible points to Jesus. Forgiveness and new life only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? That is the central piece. And Jesus goes, you're missing it because you're refusing to come to me. The scriptures point to me. The scriptures reveal me as the Messiah and the Savior. And if you miss that, you actually don't have new life. You don't have forgiveness. And so you have to understand that the primary goal when you're reading the Bible is to clearly see who Jesus actually is. And that's the number one question that I would encourage every one of us to ask every time that you're reading the Bible, that we would ask this very simple question, and it's this: what does this teach me about Jesus? That's one of the most central questions you can ask. What is this Bible passage, what is this section of Scripture teaching me about Jesus? What does this show me about who he is? What does this show me about what he has done? Because all of the scriptures ultimately find their fulfillment in Jesus. Now, if you're here this morning, and or you're joining online, and you're not a Christian yet, and you're reading the Bible, I would still start with that question. What does this teach me about Jesus? What does this teach me about who he is and what he's done? If you approach the Bible in that perspective, what you'll find, and you keep asking that question again and again every time you read, you're going to start to find the Spirit start warming your heart to the truth of what it's proclaiming, to the truth of who Jesus is. And you're actually going to end up hitting a point where it's almost like you kind of like wake up and you go, this is true. This is real. And you believe this, and it begins to change your life. And then there's this moment where you cross in and you're like, man, I believe. And you say yes to Jesus, and you start walking with him, and he starts changing your life and transforming you in an incredible way. But it often starts with simply reading the scriptures and asking the primary question, who is Jesus? What is this saying about him? Because the scriptures are primarily, I mean, that's the primary focus of the Bible. Now, if you are a Christian, I still think this is the primary view that you come with reading scripture. Because when you're asking that question, what'll happen? As you're reading the Bible and you're asking the question, what does this tell me about Jesus? You'll find that the Spirit begins to well up joy within you about who Jesus is and about what he's done and the fact that you know him and the fact that he saved you, not because you're an awesome, great, thoughtful person, but he saved you because he's awesome and he's great and he's merciful and he's graceful and he cares for you, right? And there's this joy that just begins to well up within your heart and within your spirit. And quite frankly, who doesn't need more joy, right? Like, who couldn't benefit from a little bit more joy? And it just simply comes from starting with that question, reading the Bible and saying, what does this teach me about Jesus? It begins to open up our minds to understanding about faith and salvation. I love, we've read verse 16, but look at the verse right beforehand. Paul is writing this to Timothy, and he goes, listen, from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. They have the power to give you wisdom so that you can be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the primary purpose of Scripture, is that you would clearly see who Jesus is, you would know what he has done, and that would lead you to faith in him alone. So that's the first benefit. When you're reading the Bible, it helps you to see who Jesus is. Here's another benefit that comes from reading the Bible. Reading the Bible heals my heart. Reading the Bible begins to heal my heart. What do we mean by that, saying that reading the Bible heals our heart? Well, Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 puts it this way. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Refreshing the soul. And I was thinking about this idea of refreshing the soul, and I really spent some time thinking about that and studying that. And one of the things that came to my mind, a real life example. So this past week, my family just took a night and we got away. And there was a moment where my oldest sons and I, we were sitting in this hot tub, right? We're just sitting there, we're chilling, we're hanging out, bebopping, whatever. And then we were close to this door to the outside, and it was like 22 degrees outside and there was snow on the ground. And I looked over and I said, hey, I bet you won't go outside. And they're like, you're right. You know, so after some good peer pressure from their dad, right, because that's what we do, I convinced them, let's go outside. And so, like, we went outside, and we're standing out there in 22-degree whatever weather, and you know what? It was actually, like, refreshing. It felt, I get why people do it now. Before, I just thought these were crazy people, but I understand it. Like, there's all kinds of steam coming off of us out there. And if I had had sandals, I'd have stayed out longer, but my feet were freezing in the snow, right? So we run back into the hot tub, and now our feet are burning. But it was wonderful. It was really, really refreshing. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it. I felt awake. I felt alive. It was invigorating. And when I was studying this idea about that the law of the Lord is perfect and it refreshes our soul, what that is communicating is that when we read the Bible, it restores our spiritual strength. It wakes us back up to what is really true, to what is really meaningful, right? It brings us focus. It reminds us of our purpose, because we have all these messages all day long, all week long, speaking to us about what we should be doing and the directions of our life, and this person's being successful in that way and effective in this way and all of this. And reading the scripture brings us back to the center and refreshes the soul, and it reinvigorates us and reminds us of who we are and who God is. You know, if you take some time to read through the Old Testament chapter, Psalm 119, this is this really amazing poem about the Bible. But when you read through Psalm 119, I would encourage you to do, if you've never read through Psalm 119 before, take some time this week, just read through it. You'll be amazed at some of the language that's used describing the Bible. You'll come across descriptions like this, that the Bible is a delight. It delights me. That the Bible brings joy to my heart when I'm reading it. It comforts a person. It wells up hope within us. And so the whole idea here is that when we're reading the scripture, it brings healing to our heart. It refreshes our soul. And if some of us were transparent and honest in here this morning, you would confess and say, right now, I feel frustrated. I feel confused. I feel just kind of like dry on the inside of my life. Even though I'm a Christian, something just feels off. And most likely is, for most of the people, there is a disconnection between you and the Word of God. That for whatever reason, there's this stiff arming, there's this distance, you're not engaged in it. And so there's an emptiness about you. Why is that the case? Well, Jesus told us, right? One of the moments when he's tempted by Satan, and he's like, hey, turn these rocks into bread. I know that you're hungry. Jesus replies with this. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus knew that the scriptures heal the heart. They refresh the soul. They invigorate us. They wake us up. We don't live off of physical food only, right? You can't make a life off of kale, all right? Just don't. But we can make a life off of reading the scriptures. Why? Because you were made to know God. That is your purpose in life. More than anything else. More than being a great business owner, more than being a great parent, more than being awesome at whatever talent or skill that you have, you were made to know God. You were made to love God, and you were made to rely on God in every area of your life. And when you're reading the Bible reminds you of that, and it brings healing to your heart. Here's the third benefit when you're reading the scriptures, that reading the Bible guides me through life. Reading the Bible guides me through life. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder if you've ever faced moments when you aren't sure what to do. I've faced moments like that. I've had situations, problems, challenges put in front of me, and I'm going, I'm just not sure what to do here. And wouldn't it be very helpful to have some guidance in those moments? When you're not sure what to do, you would have some help in that. Well, the Bible describes itself this way, is that Psalm 119, verse 24 says this, your laws please me, they give me wise advice. They give me wise advice. Other translations of the scripture say that the Bible is like an advisor, that the Bible is like a counselor, right? Who kind of helps you think about things. The Bible is like a trusted friend who you can go to, ask questions, and receive guidance from that, right? So think about this. Do you have a dispute with a friend? Like you're kind of like in a conflict, something's going on, things aren't really gelling quite right. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives really clear guidance on how to handle a situation like that. How do you handle when friends are at conflict with one another and you're not sure what to do? Matthew 5 will guide you through that. Some of you are going, I'm just not sure how to connect with my spouse. Maybe you're new in your marriage, or maybe you've like hit this spot and you're going, I'm not sure what to do. Well, Ephesians chapter 5 is really, really clear on how to connect with your spouse and what the marriage relationship is really supposed to look like. Maybe you're in a moment where you're fighting against temptation, you're fighting against sin, and you're not quite sure, how do I navigate this? How do I trust God through this moment? Galatians chapter 5 is so clear about how to battle against temptation and to battle against sin in your life. Even when there's moments where you're going, man, I want to talk to God. I'm not sure how to pray. I've never really prayed before. Matthew 6, Jesus, he gives guidance. It doesn't mean you repeat that prayer every single time, but it creates a little bit of a guidance on how can we pray? How might we talk to God when we do talk to him? And in fact, looking to the Bible for guidance is one of the key ways to depend on God. When you look to the Bible for guidance, when you see what God has said something, spoken about something, this is a key way to depend on him. When I don't know what to do, God, I'm going to go to the scriptures, and I'm going to see what your guidance is, and I'm going to trust you over myself. The other thing, here's when it's really helpful. When I do know what I want to do in a situation, you've been there, but I recognize this is probably outside of the character of God, right? Or this is just not a good idea. What a prime moment to go to the scriptures and to look to God for guidance and to make a decision to trust him and to trust his wisdom and to trust his truth over my own perspective. This is one of the key ways to depend on God. When you read the Bible and you trust what God has said, that's faith. It takes faith when you're harboring vengeance in your heart against another person and you read the Bible and it says forgive freely. And when you put that in action, that's faith. That's as much faith as anything else because you're trusting what God has said over and above what your own mindset and what you would desire to do. And so when you read the Bible, man, you are opening up your life to receive guidance from God. Here's the fourth and the final benefit. Now, these aren't the only four that you get, but as I was studying this last couple of weeks, these were the four that really just came to the top, that when you're reading the Bible, it draws me closer to God. Reading the Bible draws me closer to God. And quite frankly, this is the overarching purpose, that the reason Jesus lived, died, and was raised from the dead was so that we could be reconciled to God and we could walk with him. The reason he heals our hearts is so that we can know him and be close to him. The reason that we look to him for guidance is so that we can be close with him. When you're reading the Bible draws you closer to God. In fact, there's a moment when a religious leader, an expert in the law, comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment out of all the laws? What's the greatest commandment that there is in the Bible? I wonder, does anybody remember Jesus' reply? You'd be willing to say it real quick? I heard that too, yeah. If you caught that online, type that in the chat, right? Yeah, no, I heard most of it, yeah. It love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, and a second is equal to it, it's just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You remember how he wraps up? He says, all of the law and all of the prophets hang on those two commands. So what he's saying, all of scripture is summed up in those two statements. Love God with everything about you and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's part of what that means. That when I'm reading the Bible, two outcomes should result. I love God more and I love people more. That's where reading the Bible should lead me to. Loving God more and loving people more. If reading the Bible leads me to bitterness, if reading the Bible leads me to self-justification and self-righteousness and putting myself in a position that I'm better than you and I know more things than you and you should submit to me, you're not reading that the way that Jesus intended you to. Because reading the Bible is intended to draw us closer to God. Now, for some of you, you're going, how can one book, this is just a book, how can one book point you to Jesus, heal your heart, give you guidance, and draw you closer to God all in one moment? One book. Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's not just a book. It never was just a book. I love how Hebrews 4, verse 12 describes it. It says this, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit." Do you know where the soul ends and the spirit begins? No, but the scriptures do. So much that even both separating joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. This is not just a book. The Bible is inspired by God, right? Every single passage inspired by God. The Holy Spirit uses the Bible to expose sin in our lives, the ways that we're trusting in ourselves instead of trusting in God. The Bible draws us to put our faith in Jesus, and the Bible teaches us how to apply the solution of Jesus to our lives, to our greatest problem. Your greatest problem is not the debt, the financial debt you're in. The greatest problem is not your weight gain. Your greatest problem is not some relationship here on earth. Your greatest problem is your separation from God. And the scripture leads you to knowing how Jesus solves that and to apply that solution in your own life. The Bible is not just some book. In fact, James describes it. He says it's like a mirror. That when you're reading the Bible, it's exposing you to yourself. And you begin to see yourself as you clearly are. And it allows you to turn and put your hope in Jesus Christ. The Bible is right. The Bible is true. The Bible endures. The Bible stands firm. The Bible is trustworthy. The Bible is eternal. This is why reading the Bible is absolutely central to the best part of your day. To include this in your daily quiet time, your devotional time, your time with the Lord, however you want to say that, Scripture is absolutely central to it. Now, with the couple of minutes we have left, I want to talk really quickly how we can incorporate reading the Bible into your daily quiet time to make it a part of the best part of your day. So I want to get really practical very quickly. Here's the first thing. If somebody said, hey, how do I do this? Where do I start? I would encourage you, a lot of you who have been a part of Lighthouse for a while, you know I am a huge, huge fan of Bible reading plans. I think this is just where you start. And quite frankly, I'm not entirely sure that it matters which plan. Some of you guys, that's you freak out about that. I don't know, should I have this plan or that plan? Or what about this plan or that plan? And you're like, freak out. It's like, man, get a plan and just start walking through it, right? Because you're reading the Bible. As long as it's a plan that's focused on Scripture, for the most part, you're going to be okay, all right? So just get on a Bible reading plan. There are all kinds out there. Some of my favorites are 30 Days with Jesus. I love that one. It's 30 days. You get the life of Jesus. It's so good. Another one I enjoy is Through the New Testament in 90 Days. Simply reading three chapters a day, you're through the entire New Testament in 3 months. I think that one is absolutely fantastic. Some of you guys are doing a Bible in a year. One that's really popular right now is the Bible Recap. Seems like everybody is on that one right now. But whatever it is, get a Bible reading plan in which you are reading the Bible. Not somebody telling you what they think about the Bible, but a Bible reading plan that you're actually reading. And just follow it, right? Just go through it day at a time. If you miss a day, big deal. Pick back up wherever it is you left off. If you miss 3 days, it's all right. Pick back up where you left off. Not a big deal. But start with a Bible reading plan. This way, you're not having to figure out, where am I going to read today? You just know. That's what I love about it. I'm just going to start here because that's what it's telling me to do. Now, you've got your Bible reading plan, you've got your Bible open. By the way, this is one thing our teaching team really recommended. A lot of people are saying, man, moving away from reading the Bible on my phone to reading on an old analog version, right? Paper. they're like, that has been the most helpful thing to me. Why? Because while I'm reading, I don't have my phone going, bing, bing, Facebook, Gram, TikTok, right? Whatever it is. And I'm just going and reading from a paper Bible. So some of the most helpful things you might do is get you an old school Bible with pages and paper that you have to thumb through, and it may be absolutely life-changing for you. But you got your Bible open, you've got your Bible reading plan. Here's the next thing I would do. I would start with prayer. I would just start with simple prayer. So I messaged one of my friends and said, hey, walk me through what your daily quiet time looks like. And so she sent some things to me. And one of the things I really, she had a lot of great stuff to say. One of the things I really appreciated was her opening prayer. And I want to read this to you for just a moment. She said, this is just where I typically start. God, teach me. Reveal yourself to me. Correct any errors or misunderstanding in my thinking. And purify my motives as I learn and direct my day according to your word. What a simple prayer. I just want to be with you. Help me see you clearly. Correct any thinking and misunderstanding I have in there. Reveal yourself to me. Purify my motives as I'm learning and letting the scriptures direct my day. I think you just start with a simple prayer, just like that. Now, you're in a position to start hearing from God. What you're going to do next, you're just going to read. Right? Just read, whatever it is. And then once you're done reading, here's what I like to do. I read it again. Because I'm just not that bright, and there's probably some things that I have missed along the way, and so a second reading really helps me. And then after I read it a second time, you know what I'd go do after that? I'll typically read it a third time. But this time, I'll look in a new translation. So right now, one I've been leveraging has been the NIV. I think that's a solid translation. And so maybe when I read it a third time, I'll go read it in the Amplified or the NLT or the NASB, right? There's all kinds of out there. But I read it in a different version because that helps me to maybe see some different nuances in the passage. So reading is absolutely central, right? You've got to spend time reading through it. Now, once you've read, this is so important. So you're gonna have your Bible reading plan, you're gonna pray, you're gonna read, and then here's the next thing. This is actually something often people just skip. You're gonna reflect. You're gonna think. You're gonna meditate on what it says. This is what Psalm 119, verse 15 is saying. In fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with, I will study. Are you ready? Go. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. This is so central, right? It's not just reading it so I can put the checkbox and move on with my day, but now I'm thinking about it. I'm reflecting. I'm studying it. This is where I'm asking those questions. What does this teach me about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, right? Some other questions you could ask is this: how does this passage bring healing to my heart? How does this passage, does it provide guidance for me in life today? How is this passage drawing me closer to God? Because that's what the Bible does. And so we can just simply ask those questions. And an absolute game changer when you're reflecting is this: write it down. That is the basic crossover from reading the Bible to studying it. When you start writing things down, it's a game changer. On a notebook, on a napkin, it doesn't matter. Just simply start writing down what this passage is saying, what you believe God is saying to you, right? Like Walmart, $4 will get you a notebook, and that could begin to change your life. And then here's the last thing, right? This is part of your daily, so you've got your plan, you've prayed, you've read, you've reflected, you've written some things down, and now there's nothing to it but to do it, right? Like you got to do it, right? However, that passage is asking you to trust. This is the difference between a hearer of the word and a doer of the word, right? James says you can fool yourself by simply being a hearer of the word, by simply just thinking about the word, by simply like passing on, parroting phrases you heard from another pastor onto other people. That's different from doing and trusting and applying what God has spoken through his passage into your life. Because this year, this is a year for you and me to grow in trusting God like never before. I'm not just going to be a knower of God's word. I'm not just going to be a hearer of God's word. I'm going to be a truster. I'm going to be a doer. I'm going to let the Spirit do his work in my heart and let him make its way out of me. If this is something that would be helpful for you, if you look on the back of your Blue Connection card, there's a next step back there. I think it's the second one down. Please send me the best part of my day, daily quiet time guide. And so in that, we're going to send you what we've talked about today. We'll also send some of the next week's what we're going to talk about as well, so you can start incorporating your daily quiet time and leveraging those as a part of your life. And I know for some of you, you're kind of going, man, where do I start? You know, you've shared so much this morning. Where do I start? Here's your first step that I want to encourage you as your pastor to do. It's very simple. You could literally right now, if you already have your phone out, if you don't, pull your phone out and set a reminder right now on your phone for 3 o'clock today that I'm going to take a few minutes to plan for my daily quiet time. Right? 3 o'clock today isn't necessarily going to be my daily quiet time. It can be, that's fine. But I'm going to take time today, 5-10 minutes, and I'm going to make a plan for when my daily quiet time is going to be. Right? Set your appointment to make your plan. If you do that, that's one of the best first steps that you can make, and you'll start planning out the rest of your week. And I know for some of you, you've got like some barriers, you've got some hesitations in your mind. You're going, well, you don't understand, my day is so full, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to add this into my life now. Are we allowed to be like honest with each other? That is hooey, right? If it wasn't church, I'd use a different word, like baloney, right? Sorry. Let's delete that from the online. Anyways, so you say, I don't have time. Listen, that's just not true. This is not a time issue. This is a priority issue. Let's just call it what it is. This is a value issue. How do I know that? If social media has taught us anything, it is not for lack of time that we don't pray. It is not for lack of time that we don't read the scriptures. It is not for lack of time that we do not reflect and surrender our lives to the Lord. Social media has taught us we have hours a day to do this. It's not a time issue. It's a value issue. It's a priority issue. And so what I'm asking you to do is to simply ask the Lord to reprioritize your life. And we're not talking about hours upon hours. I'm talking you can start as little as 20 minutes. 10 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of praying, 5 minutes of surrendering your life to the Lord. Now for me, I'm not telling this is right for everybody. For me, my best part of the day is the beginning. If I don't start out on the right foot, my day starts going all kinds of crazy ways. Right? I'm not in the right mindset. I'm not prepared. I'm angsty. I'm angry. Somebody accused me of being hangry yesterday. Right? I've got to start with the Lord. So for me, it's in the morning, and it directs the entire rest of my day. So break through that barrier of I don't have time. We do. We just need to make it a priority. Here's another barrier. Some of you guys go, I'm not very good at reading the Bible. I feel like I don't always get something from it. I don't always understand it. Here's what I'd say. Not every time you read the Bible is going to be like this epiphany, right? Where like light shines down from heaven and there's like music and you're like, oh, and you're like, oh my goodness. Like not every day is that. Sometimes I'm like reading through the genealogy. Okay. There's a lot of people got made, right? Like, and we know their names. Praise the Lord. And so not every time is this great moment. And listen, even the Bible admits, some things in the Bible are hard to understand. There are a few things that are hard to understand, but overwhelmingly, most of the Bible is very simple. It's very clear. Don't get hung up on the three things you haven't quite figured out when there's literally 1,000 things that the Bible is so simplistically clear about. Live there, right? This is also one of the reasons why groups are so central, and we encourage people to sign up for groups every single semester, because this is a place where you can ask questions. Hey, I was reading in Genesis, and I have this question. That is a great place to ask that question. So if you haven't signed up for group, do it today before you leave. Imagine what God might do in your life with as little as 20 minutes a day. When you make a commitment, you just spend this appointment, this time with God, where just other people, man, they gotta wait. Like, I love you and I care about you, but I need to be with my Father in heaven right now. I need to be with him. I love being with him. And in fact, you don't want me unless I've been with him, right? Like, what could God do? How could he help you understand and deepen your faith in Christ? What healing could he bring to your heart, right? How could he guide you and direct you? What joy, what delight, what refreshment might he bring to your soul? How might God open up your eyes to your need for Jesus and you step into genuine faith, resisting religion for the entire rest of your life? And so as your pastor, I want to help you make one of the most critical decisions that you can make in your daily walk with Jesus, which is simply a daily time with him, that you would have that best part of your day every single day. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We wrap up each teaching with a real simple question. And the question is this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And then I just want you to listen to him for a moment. And as you're praying, I'd like to just lead in a moment of prayer the first Sunday of 2026. And if this prayer resonates with you, maybe you would agree and pray along in your own heart and your own mind. But it's simply this: God, you have revealed yourself so clearly through history and through the Bible and ultimately through Jesus, all so that I could just be with you. Thank you for your loving kindness to me. Thank you for your care that you've shown to me. And I confess that there are times that I find other things to do beside being with you, other things that seem more urgent, other things that seem more important, or just grab my attention more than being with you. Will you help me to reprioritize my life, inviting you to become my first and my greatest love? As I read the Bible, Holy Spirit, please help me to hear from you and to trust that you're changing my heart and you're changing my mind. Help me to resist a performance mindset. Help me to resist thinking that I'm going to get more things from you because now I'm doing daily Bible time or daily quiet time. Remind me that you are the true reward, always. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.